Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to finish, finally, we're going to finish this Daniel chapter 11 in the series, The Evidence for the Divine Inspiration of the Bible. Now, as far as the series, The Evidence for the Divine Inspiration of the Bible, that will probably never end because there is so much in the Bible, so many things that we can grab a hold of and say, this, again, is evidence that God wrote it. But as far as Daniel 11 goes, today we're actually going to finish it. And this series has gone much longer than I thought it would. But to do it justice, I've had to kind of get in detail and talk about the different things that are happening in each prophetic verse of this chapter. So anyway, we're going to start with verse 41 and go to the end. So with that, let's jump right in. And so verse 41, he shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. And so kind of continuing on with the story from the previous verse, Octavius was chasing this king of the south, and Cleopatra, he's chasing them, and he chases them through Syria, Judea, which is the glorious land, and Egypt. But in this little pursuit of his, he doesn't mess with Edom, Moab, and Ammon. And so that was quick. Moving on to verse 42 here, he shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. And this is a little sad. Again, it kind of reads like a tragedy or a soap opera, but Octavius continues chasing after Antony and Cleopatra. Antony tries to get an army together in Alexandria, but it completely fails because most of his troops had already deserted him and joined Octavius. Then he gets some kind of report that Cleopatra had been killed. Well, rather that she killed herself. So he commits suicide with his sword, and Cleopatra actually lives for several weeks after his death. She attempts to hook up with Octavius and make a deal, arrange some kind of deal for the protection of her kids. All right, but it doesn't work out, and she ends up committing suicide by allowing a snake to bite her. So kind of sad, but that's how that ends. Moving on to verse 43, he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. So this is cool. I mean, everything is just absolutely accurate here. Daniel just nails this chunk of history, this 490 years, just one thing after another here. So how does 43 get fulfilled? Well, because of Octavius's victory over Egypt, he was able to basically take all of Egypt's wealth, which was immense. It was a lot of money, so much so that the interest rates in Rome fell greatly due to how much money Octavius had plundered from Egypt. At the end of that verse 43, it also says that Libya and Ethiopia would fall at his heels as well. Well, later on, Octavius, along with his general, took Libya and Ethiopia. So again, Daniel just nails it. So moving on to verse 44, but news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. All right, so in this prophecy, we have some king being troubled from news from the east and also news from the north, and that he would go out and destroy and annihilate many. All right, well, the focus of this prophecy is now shifting back to Herod. We've already covered now that story of the king of the north and the south. So we're back to Herod, who is over the Judea region. So what happens here? Well, we have this news from the east is the Magi that had come to announce the birth of the one. The ones that showed up to go and see Jesus, the King of the Jews, right? So he hears this news from these guys from the east, okay, and that troubles him, as we see in Matthew 2, verse 3. And when these Magi do not return back to King Herod, he flips out, okay? He's been duped, and he has all of the infants who were in the region of Bethlehem, had them all executed, all right, annihilating many. But it doesn't stop there. He gets news from his oldest son, Antipater. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Antipater, that his two oldest sons were involved in a little conspiracy against him. So what does he do? This news from the north, he has his two sons killed. And then, moving on to verse 45, he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. And again, as you might expect, Daniel nails this. Towards the end of his life, Herod's life, he started developing an illness. And so he moves to his winter palace at Jericho, which is less than 10 miles northwest of the Dead Sea and about 45 miles east of the Mediterranean Sea and less than 20 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And it's kind of sad, but towards the end of Herod's life, this illness of his, we're not really sure what it is, maybe syphilis, that's what people think, it became so painful for him, he tried to commit suicide with a paring knife, but his cousin stopped him, right? And after this attempt, apparently, he had his son Antipater killed, executed, and about 5 days later, he died of that illness. And that's it. That's the end of chapter 11. And as you guys, I mean, this was a long series for just one chapter of the Bible. But as you can see, every single verse is filled with statements that are prophetically true. They came to pass, and Daniel repeatedly shows that he had access to information that came from a God outside of space and time. And thus, we know that the Bible once again shows itself to be written by God. We see the evidence of divine inspiration. I love this stuff. It shows that a God outside of space and time wrote this Bible through the lips and hands of men. And so when you move forward to Daniel chapter 12, it jumps forward quite a bit. And I think that's why we have a new chapter of the Bible here, is because the subject has changed. And just for the sake of reading it, Chapter 12, verse 1, at that time, Michael shall stand up, that the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. So we see now that, I mean, it is a total change of time here. And we see that we have jumped so far ahead that we're seeing the time where we have the ultimate salvation of Daniel's people. And also notice we have this theme of resurrection from the dead. So anyway, that is awesome. That is the end of it. Daniel chapter 11, once again, evidence for the divine inspiration of the Bible. God shows us once again that he wrote this Bible. And with that, come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com. I do want to talk to you guys. Leave comments and questions. I want to know who you guys are. I want to find out what you want to know about in the future, what series, topics I can cover to help you guys out. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.